You are listening to episode 188 of the Mindful Productivity Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Steckler, and I'm so excited this week to bring on one of my favorite people and guests to the show, and that is Lori Crawford. Today, we're going to be talking about improvising, what it is, and what it means to make life more livable. I think you're really going to enjoy this cozy episode. We talked about so much good stuff, and it was really, really nurturing to hear from Lori and all of her perspectives on this. So go ahead, get cozy, and let's go ahead and jump into today's show. Welcome to the Mindful Productivity Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Steckler, and this is the place to be to live a more mindful and productive life. If you're ready to turn daily chaos into calm and start your days with intention, then get ready to join me as we dive deep into mindful living and personal productivity. It's time to connect with your true self so you can live the life you want to live. And it all starts now. Welcome back to the podcast, friends. Before we get started in today's episode, I thought I would give Lori a formal and warm welcome. So Lori Crawford is an embodiment guide, currently embodying her first go at motherhood. She helps people just like you navigate overwhelm so you can access more ease and choice in your day-to-day lives, allowing you to live life reconnected to what and who matters most to you. One question Lori always asks is, what if productivity was less about output and more about supporting your holistic well-being? Lori is also the host of the Improvising Life podcast, which I highly recommend checking out and subscribing to. I'm so excited to introduce you to Lori, so let's go ahead and get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited today to have the lovely and amazing Lori Crawford join us. We're going to be talking about improvising, what it means to make life more livable. And in the spirit of improvising, we're also improvising this episode. So I have a couple questions stored away to keep my brain on track, but Lori and I are just going to dive into having a really lovely conversation about all of this. So before we jump into all that good stuff, I would love, Lori, for you to give us a little intro and tell everyone more about yourself.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Sarah. Okay. Whew. I get so excited. Take a breath. I am, at some parts of my day, an embodiment guide. At other parts of days, I'm a fairy grant mentor. So I think of myself as a creative wellness and creative writing coach, consultant, whatever word finishes that statement. I'm a new mother. And so mom brain there, I needed those few breaths because I was like all excited and wanted to squeal and all the things. And I also am a self-described Sarah groupie. I love all things Sarah. And I really wanted to publicly thank her for her courses too. So I have two planners that are published-ish. One will be in a few days. And so just being able to actually learn how to create and express myself in ways that feel good is something that I'm really excited about today as I'm finishing up my second planner. And I don't remember what you asked. Is that?
No, that's great. I'm like, well, I relate so much to that. Cause yeah, I know. And I was just on your podcast too. And so I had a lot of the same moments. So by the way, we will link to Lori's podcast in the show as well.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So I know. Right. But I just love all the work that you do so much. And you have this amazing pocket planner that you've created, which we can talk more about. And you're working on your other grant glow up planner. There's so many amazing things. But before we jump into all of that, I would love to have a conversation around maybe like what improvising is and what that means to you. Cause I think it's when I first heard you talk about this term, I was like, ooh, like something about it sparked a lot of interest in me. And so I'd love for you to be able to like kind of define and describe it for everyone.
Yes. Thank you. And I think my brain or my body was anticipating you'd ask that. So then when I was answering the first thing, which was should have been simple as what's your name or say something, my brain was like, did you already ask about that? Do I start there? So that was part of the pause of like, am I jumping ahead? Yeah. So improvising literally is a mash with the words improvising and providing. And so it's this idea, this practice, this sort of way of being That's like life provides us moments to experience. And when we're able to improvise our response to them, we're actually able to start experiencing and processing and relating to life as it's happening, right? So much of the time, we're really taught to and expected to, one, just act like nothing's happening, or like wait until we sort of get bottled up and then have an understandable meltdown to then realize shit's been happening. So improvising really for me is the mindfulness practice. It's the embodiment practice. It's really a way for me to have a relationship between my mind, my body, and my spirit, right? So for me, it is the way that I am able to live life and not feel like I'm just on autopilot. And this was something that came about through my work with youth. And, you know, I was in a 6-week program we would record ourselves interacting with youth and then watch back and then use strengths-based language to see what we were doing, you know? And so my research question was like, to formalize or not to formalize? Because my boss would always say, you're too informal, like you need to be more serious and all this stuff. But actually what I realized through that program, which was outside of work, was actually that my informal process, which now I realized was improvising, was why youth were relating with me, which was why I was having really positive interactions and relationships were being built in different ways that other staff people weren't able to necessarily cultivate with the same youth. And so it was sort of through that process that I realized like, oh, I've already been doing this. This is the way that I naturally approach life. And then being able to use the actual language of applied improv and actually break it out into 6 tools of improvising allowed me to be more intentional about it because I was able to suddenly put words to an experience I was already having.
I love, thank you so much for this description. And as a huge fan of your podcast, I think I've listened to every episode now. I love all the tools that you walk everyone through. And what improvising really means to me is it feels like this lovely invitation into mindfulness and a state of being present, but also this lovely acceptance of the moment we're in. I think there was a recent episode, I can't remember exactly the situation you were walking us through, but you were talking about just how we can want to control like all these different moments. But just really coming back to this place of being like, well, not only is what's within the scope of my control, but more so like, why do I feel the need to change this moment or make this moment different, versus exploring the space that I'm currently in. And just the way, for anyone listening, please go listen to Lori's podcast after this. I think you'll just feel so comforted. It's like a warm little hug, everything that you talk about. But I think it's really just that mindfulness piece of being present, but also kind of acceptance. And I think that's ultimately what makes life more livable are those moments. And so I guess that's kind of a cool segue into this next topic is, you know, with improvising, like what does it mean to make life more livable and accessible for the moment, or however you want to phrase it?
Yeah. So this is something that I'm going to share my, like for today, right now, it is 12:42 PM on March 14th. Like what my definition of a more livable life is right now, because to me, that's the point, is that it is a very fluid relationship with that idea. And so right now, a more livable life. So on our episode together last week, Sarah, you had shared that cozy is a like core value for you. I was thinking this weekend, what's mine? And ease is one. And I had to hold space for what was coming up with that. Because it's like, oh, wait, this reminds me of all the times I was told I was lazy or I didn't want to work hard or do all these things. But for me, ease is actually the existence and like nourishment or nourishing of like the space to be able to just be. Right. So for me, ease means there aren't hurdles I'm jumping every day. Ease means that there's room to say yes or no to something and then have plans change or take up opportunities. Ease to me means that there isn't an immediate fire that I'm having to put out. Ease to me is literally the ability to say, okay, brain, I know you're working overtime right now. Let's take a break and play for a little bit. You know, and so for me, my most livable life is access to ease. You know, and at other times of my life, more recently, a livable life was the ability to say, you know what, I'm not going to be able to take on this extra project at work right now. And I need to set boundaries here. Other times, a more livable life, you know, I would love to be able to go on vacation, but, you know, there's a pandemic. So, you know, for me, I get really excited about the idea that I get to actually have that as a tool to check in with myself. Like in this moment, what's a more livable life? Sometimes that's loading the dishwasher. Sometimes that's saying fuck it and not loading the dishwasher and just knowing I'm going to have to find takeout that's gluten-free somehow that I can eat later because I won't have clean dishes to eat, you know? And so it's being able to make that choice and have access to choices that I want to make.
That really reminds me too of like all these rules. And I'll share that like I notice myself imposing all these different rules on my day that don't make life livable. Like for instance, if I walk into the kitchen in between, you know, a call or I'm about to take Bella out and I notice like, oh, something's messy. There's this instant pull of you should, right? Like all these shoulds, like you should stop your joy and do this, right? Where it's like, I love this question of like, what's really necessary to facilitate like your livable life, essentially. There's moments where doing those tasks is super important. And then there's also moments where it's like, it's okay that life is messy and chaotic. And so I just like love that so much. And ease, like the way you were describing ease, it's like kind of reducing the friction, I think too. Mm-hmm. And I think it can be so easy to focus on all these external things that we don't have control over. But when I heard you just now describing ease, it's like really focusing on the barriers or the things that we may put in place and how we can kind of just like lessen that friction within ourselves or like the narrative that we're telling ourselves or any of that stuff. I just found that so comforting to hear.
Well, and when you were reflecting back, something came up that I say often to people about like we get unhelpful help getting to where we are, whether that's systemic inequities and those barriers, the narratives that we get about how we're supposed to behave or to be, our own family structures and systems. And we get that unhelpful help, right? We don't come into the world with narratives or voices saying that we're lazy or that we should be doing all these things, right? Like we get that placed upon us. And so I often am playing with this idea of if we can get unhelpful help, can we also get helpful help? And what does that look like or feel like? And so for me, this idea of having a livable life is both acknowledging and honoring the way that those larger systemic things are impacting us, knowing that it's not on any one person to change it. And that's why so many of us aren't able to like take those steps and the things that we could shift or control because we're intentionally made to just see the huge fuckery mountain that no one person is supposed to be able to shift and then think, oh, well, it's just always going to be. And then also have that room for curiosity of understanding that there's this mountain. If I'm sort of feeling stuck in this, I think a crag is a mountain term. I'm not sure. Like, I know that's geography wise, a crag is a thing, or maybe it's pronounced Craig, who knows, but if we're in this place along the mountain, right. And there's just like a rough spot ahead and it's just not the time when we have energy to traverse that right now. How can we yes in that moment? You know, how can we acknowledge what's coming up and honor what our actual need is to just be in that moment? And so for me, for example, be like, what is the easeful option right now? And that might look like saying, that's cute that you're telling me I have to do this thing today right now, but like, I'm not going across that rickety ass bridge that's missing planks and doing all that. Like, no, I'm going to just find my cave, hope there's not, you know, a mountain lion in it and just take a snooze. You know, like that might be for me in that moment, what I need to do.
This is the perfect, you've like set this up so lovely because this is one of the other things I wanted to talk about today was yes anding and what that means. And all this ties together so nicely. And the way that you have these tools set up, it really takes something. I think it takes something because a lot of this is like a mindset and it takes it and it creates these tangible foundational tools. And I think that's where like I struggle sometimes is, well, how do I actually shift this? And so I love that you provide all these tools, but what is yes anding? How can you describe that and how can I help people?
One quick note before I go there. I'm so glad you said, how do I shift this? Because when I first started my business and you know, the message that came through is that I'm a shit shifter.
Oh yeah. I remember
and
that.
I'm wanting to like get back to that language, but it's, you know, if anyone who's ever taken on a project or started business, we often try to make it harder than it is. So I've gotten away from the things that actually felt right. And so this is a great segue. So in that lens of shit shifting, right? You know, for me, So yes anding in itself is the fundamental tool of improv, and improv is applied improvisational comedy or literal improv comedy, like on a stage. So that, you know, like I did not create yes and, you know, and the point is to not think that I did, right? But usually applied improv is just a 45-minute professional development setting where you have to go because your boss told you, and you're kind of like, the fuck am I here for? There's some weirdo in front of me. You know, like I've been in those situations. I've been facilitated that situation. And so it usually, to me, misses the mark of how it's actually a not only transferable skill, but embodied skill and embodied practice, something that actually to me is like a doorway into, like out of your mind saying, hey, oh, I'll see you later, into your body. And so what that looks like then, for me, the yes is that acknowledging part. What is happening? What is the reality at this moment? What is the feeling that I'm feeling? What is the face I wish I could make at my neighbor right now? Like whatever that looks like, right? The and to me is where you're suddenly like putting your shoulders back, taking the breath. There's a posture change, not just physically, but emotionally, energetically. That opens up room for options, because then is how do I honor what's coming up? So often we're in this mode that I call adulting on autopilot. And it's so understandable. Like it's a survival mode. It has its role and purposes. And also, what if that's not the only way we have to be, right? So for me, yes and is this very easily accessible tool that allows me to notice when I'm in that autopilot and it doesn't feel supportive, right? So like earlier I was mentioning that mountain, sometimes like that time where I'm going in the cave and taking a nap, that's autopilot, and I'm choosing that. That's the best option for a livable life. And also autopilot can look like, oh, someone said that I need to do more at work, even though I've already said no. And now I'm going to just take on 5 more projects, work 80 hours this week, knowing I'm salary, you know, like, and I've been in that place too. And that place literally almost killed me. My health was horrid. And so, yes. And to me, again, it's that. So I mentioned earlier, there's 6 tools of improvising, but if yes and or any of the tools are the only ones that come to you, that is more than enough to be in that moment with yourself and to have that option of access to choices and choices you want to make. You know, and one other thing about yes and as well is it doesn't mean that you become a yes person where you're like, yes, I'll say yes to everything. And that's something I really want to stress. The idea of not starting with a no is so you're not shutting down your awareness of what's actually happening. Because what we often do and how we're navigating life as a survival mechanism, saying, nope, nothing wrong, nothing to see here. Oh, no, I'm fine. I don't have anything I really need to address to you. Oh, no, you haven't really hurt me or caused harm. By starting with a yes, we're not condoning what's happening. We're allowing ourselves to be aware, to name, to acknowledge it. So then suddenly there's a relationship, you know, when we're in this frame of saying like, no, I'm not able to acknowledge that something's happening and we stay in that point. It's something I call a situationship, right? It's like, oh, it's happening, but like, is it? It's not. Nope. Okay. And sometimes we need those moments and they're so valid. And also when we're able to shift into being able to yes anding the moment, we suddenly can have a relationship with it. And to me, that's where it just suddenly not only creates room for the understanding what accountability really looks like, especially in relationships with others, whether you need to be accountable or someone else needs to be held accountable. But it really, like, to me, it's just an actual way of being alive and the feeling of that versus the sort of robotic same shit, different day that can feel so draining.
As I was listening to you describe yes anding, I was thinking back to a conversation I had with my counselor a couple of days ago where she was asking me how I was doing. And in typical Sarah fashion, I was trying to give her all the right or correct answers. Mm-hmm. So I was listing off how great life is going in all these different areas. I was telling her about how I feel better on my antidepressants now and business is going well, right? Just like listing off all these things, which is not what she asked me. She asked me like how I'm feeling. And you know, I think counseling is not necessarily always like a celebration parade. So she was like, okay. And then at the end of it, you know, cause I've been asking her to call me out when I'm doing that kind of stuff, telling her what I think she wants to hear. And she goes, but how do you really feel? She's like, you've just described all these amazing things and I'm very glad you're grateful for them. But how do you really feel? And you know how counselors are. Like, I instantly started crying, right? And I was like, okay, well, I'm also feeling this way. And it just reminds me of how powerful it is, because I think a lot of times in life we think, well, if everything's going well, if we can tell people that things are okay and we're surviving and breathing, then we aren't allowed to also hold space for the struggles, right? Or if we think our life is going quote unquote better than someone else, then we don't feel like we have space to acknowledge like maybe something we're struggling with. And it was this really powerful moment of yes anding in myself, like really realizing that there's space for both. And I think also too, this can come back to anything, right? Like it can come back to business owners too. Like you don't have to feel confident before you launch a course or before you, you know, record a podcast. You can feel completely insecure and, you know, stumble over your words and not do things perfectly or have a messy room, right? Any of those things. And you can still record a video and you can still show up as a human. And how much more powerful and livable is that when you can do both? And just hearing you talk about that, it again feels like permission. Permission to live your life and be a human. And I love that story you also shared too about, you know, working with youth and realizing, oh, when I am more just kind of like authentic and human, I get, you know, a stronger connection with these people. I get a stronger response. And I think we're seeing that more and more like in corporate culture too, especially with like, you know, working from home and stuff like that. But I always remember too, like, during my first like corporate 9-to-5, like there's a different language you have to speak at work. Mm-hmm. You have to suppress your humanness. You have to talk a certain way. And I remember always finding that so bizarre and coming home from work and like literally wanting to like shake everything off, like take a shower, you know, be like, what was that? What was this like shell that I put myself in to try to behave in a certain way? And anyway, so that was a bit of a tangent, but I wanted to share that story with you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that too. And I will push back a little and say it's not a tangent, because in Lori brain, everything's connected. And I was like, and like, you can't see screens people, but I was like inching towards my computer a few times. And that's my body saying like, oh, I want to jump in, but I'm reminding myself that I want to hear what Sarah says so I can hold those thoughts. But really, if like what you're saying too, about, especially the latter half about the way that we have to mask in other settings, corporate functioning, at school, with our parents and families, at the grocery store, like all of the different ways, because that is all different versions of masking, right? It's masking the actual expressions or behaviors or just like state of beingnesses that our bodies all have, and they all look different and they can all be so wonderful. And how all of that is actually the performative functioning of whiteness and like white supremacy functioning, right? It's this, and that is literally what is causing us to adult on autopilot. It systemically is, you know. And so why do we have to have different levels of code switching where, you know, like I am a white woman, so my expectation of code switching is much less straining than a person of the global majorities. But if I'm in a corporate setting, for example, or even at school, I'm supposed to not show my neurodivergence. You know, I'm not supposed to be stimming. I'm not supposed to be rocking in my chair. I'm not supposed to be humming along so I can pay attention. I'm not supposed to be doodling, you know? And so there's a way that we're expected to function and perform that shows that we are being complicit, complacent. And again, that robotic sort of, I'm helping the system keep being the system that it is, right? And so I appreciate you sharing how you shared that, because we've all learned. I always think of it as a grocery store example. The cashier assisting you will say, you know, they might say, how are you doing? My automatic response is always like, fine, and you? And then the point where it's like, I don't even know, like, there's not even the thought of, okay, which thing am I saying? And it's like mouth opens, that comes out. And I'm like, okay, are we in The Sims and someone pushed A? Like, what the fuck's happening? You know? And so yes, there's the balance between, I don't also need to ask someone that I don't know and won't be with for long to take on the emotional labor of solving larger things. But I could, you know, there's moments where Oh, yeah, I could also say, you know what? I'm not having the best day, but I appreciate you asking. Yeah. How does that then give the other person room to guess and that they might be having a shit ass day? Because let's be honest, if anyone has ever worked in any sort of interactive with human setting, humans can be really hard. I call this the practice that we all ping pong our shit back and forth to each other. Because again, we're all doing our best to just survive, and we're actively told not to know how to process things when they're happening. So for me, improvising is one of those ways that I can be more intentional about how I'm ping-ponging shit. And so, you know, and also knowing that the point is to not get to a place where then you're like, oh, I never have an issue again. You know, and through this like challenging whiteness lens, you know, I look at this as the goal for me is to not be able to say, oh, I'm unproblematic, because then I become uncoachable. I approach every day as how can I be the least problematic as possible? And so last night, so one of our dogs, her allergies flared. It was 70 degrees for like one day in Pittsburgh. And then the next day it snowed 5 inches, right? But that one day was enough for her allergies to flare. So her poor eyes are like gunking, like, and I am so sensitive to eyeball things. Like my mom would hate it. I would be watching like surgeries on TV, eating pasta, and it looks like I'm eating what they're, you know, and my mom be like, you're so gross. That doesn't bother me. I cannot watch someone put in a contact lens. Like, I just don't do eyeballs. So the fact that her eyeballs are so sensitive and like all of the things, I was having a really hard time last night, and with the mom guilt of like, okay, like I haven't been able to tend to her as much because I have the human baby now and all these things, right? So when I got out of the bathtub with baby, a human baby, right, I noticed the heat's not on. And so we have the app on our phone. And so instead of taking that breath and yes, Andy, like, okay, I'm feeling like I'm not doing enough for our various babies, right? And I need some support right now. I opened up the door when I felt how cold it was because baby's already shivering. You know, I snapped at my husband and just said, why'd you turn the heat off? Because I knew I turned it on the way in, not realizing that because around that time, we're usually already in bed, that I usually set it down some so that way it doesn't get too hot upstairs. So it just, because it's smart, right? It auto changed it, even though I had just set it to be warmer in the bathtub. So that being said, I was then ping-ponging shit towards my husband, who's just literally on the couch trying to enjoy FaceTime with his sister, you know, and I'm just like, why did it not? You know? And so then when I apologized after, I was like, I'm going to do better. And he was so right in saying like, but will you be able to, you know, knowing that there've been multiple incidences in my transition into parenthood where I'm just trying to do the very best to keep a human alive, that I don't have as much bandwidth to be able to notice when things are building up. So even how I'm yes anding, how I'm improvising is shifting. And that was a really helpful way for me to check in and say, oh, okay, all of these practices have really been segmented into caregiving and also not having the bandwidth to have it be more universalized, which is something that needs to happen if I'm going to be the least problematic throughout the whole household, not just in the one-to-one relationship that I have with my baby, right? So yeah, that it's definitely something that I think helps there be room for grace too, right?
This is such a good story. Like, I feel like this is just so relatable. Like that question too, that your husband asked, like, will you be able to, and I could tell that it was coming from this like really lovely invitation place, right? Not like a, well, like I need you to be perfect, right? But like more of a, like, but what's your capacity like right now? Mm-hmm. And that's such a good conversation too. Like what, like really realizing not only our capacity to do, but our capacity to be. How present can we be? And I really appreciate that you brought up, you know, whiteness and systemic, you know, issues and just the world that we live in, and right, and how that all interconnects and how our experiences are impacted by those things. And those things too can impact our capacity on an individual scale and how we interact with the world. And, you know, just hearing you talk about this, I'm thinking too of, you know, what does it mean to look at our capacity for being present in the moment, because there's definitely days like today I'm in a pretty good mood. Like, and it's like really it's like a cozy morning here and I'm digging the weather and everything seems to be like, okay, like there's no big emergencies. The dog and the cat aren't fighting. Right. And so like, I feel like I have a little bit more energy to be extra present. Like when I was talking with some of my business friends this morning on Voxer, I really felt like I was able to really show up and support them in a deeper way because I'm just in this space. But then there's other days where, you know, friends or family or whatever will share stuff and I just don't feel like I'm being as good of a insert, whatever, like, you know, wife, friend, daughter, whatever. But it's holding space for that and realizing those things don't have to look the same every day. But also communicating and sharing that out to people, like really expressing our capacity, I think is so important. And it sounds like too, like that's what you're doing in your household also, is being like, oh, well, this is a new chapter of my life. This is new. Like I have this little human and she's taking up a lot of my time. But yeah, I'll kind of just like toss that back to you. But I think it's just really interesting that we don't always take our capacity into account too.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad you brought that up because again, when I was doing this before I had the language to know I was doing this necessarily, but going back to working with kiddos, I would share with them, I'd say, okay, Miss Lori has about 12% to give today and I want to give 100% of that 12%. So how can we split that up, right? So we're supposed to be going and looking at job applications for you. Cause I've been working with children since I was 10, which is like way too early to be babysitting, but that's life. Right. And so I'm 31 now. So literally 2/3 of my life, I worked with children in some fashion, but at this point I was working with teenagers, you know? And so I'd be like, we're supposed to, you know, air quote, supposed to be looking at job applications, but what's really happening? Like, do you have the mental space? What do you really need? Right. And so that's that moment of youth bringing me. So like and providing, bring that down, they're providing me with cues on what their capacity is. And then I'm improvising. What do we do with that then? And so again, like that was happening and it was so helpful for me. And those interactions were the parts of my job that I always loved. So now that I'm in my role shift and I don't work directly with youth, that's why it can be so hard to have a day job that's in a different function that isn't communal, right? It's very much, you know, like doing all of the writing and the sort of restructuring of things. And so it's very mentally draining because it's not in that relational way, but to get back to the point, you know, it was such a helpful practice that just sort of came to be, right? Cause then I was able to say, you know, not just in work setting, if I'm waking up and I'm like, I feel like I have 27% of my tank is full today. How would it feel best to apply that 12%? Wait, that was early number 27. And you know, I'm being seated right now. I'm not at 100%, you know, but then actually ask myself, do I even want to go down to 0% today? You know, like what reserve do I want left by the end of my day? And I often still have this type of conversation with myself, you know, and say like, okay, it's like 3 p.m. now, feeling myself on fumes. I need some kind of energy shift. What offers me the little boost? And then what will I need to be able to do after that? Right. So, okay, there's, you know, baby's been sleeping a while. She's probably going to wake up and look at me with her cute little grin and then be like, I'm ready to go. You know, so what do I need to do for myself these next 5 minutes while she's still sleeping on me to then be able to be ready for go time? Right. And so like that type of practice has been really humanizing for me because it's reminding me like, I'm not a coded robot that's, you know, just, okay, here you have this shelf life. Okay. Go dock somewhere to charge up for this, you know, like trying to operate solely from that way, which I did for so much of my life, just trying to survive, not only felt so shitty, but it just didn't work. Right. Not saying that, you know, anything that I'm shared, like means that those things don't happen, but it's just, again, having access to that other choice can feel so much better, even if it ends up, you know, afterwards you're like, oh, I don't necessarily like how that went, but like, it's just the access to a choice that feels like there's that choice, like a choice you want to make is how I always say it. Like not just any choice, right? Cause that's how we get sort of like systems appease us, right? Oh, well, you technically have a choice. Mm-hmm. Okay. But is it a choice that actually supports me that I actually want to make that makes a difference? Or is this just you saying, like, oh, you can file 0-1 on your taxes. Like something was like, okay, cute, cool. But like, also, what's the fucking point?
Gosh, so many, I'm just thinking so many like good sound bites I want to come back to and like journal on and think about. You said something that really sparked like an aha moment in me. And that was, do I want to be at like 0% at the end of the day? Because that's something I often have to catch myself on is like we'll, you know, get in bed and my head hits the pillow and I'm like, that is it, you know? And then if Bella needs to go out again or whatever, I'm just like, oh, like I get so frustrated. Like, I can't believe I have to get
I wonder in those moments, do you feel like you're in control mode? Speaking back to earlier about control versus connection, right?
Yeah. It's definitely, no, it's that like feeling, a reactionary feeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is happening to me.
I know that because sleep is my biggest, like I am a goblin when I'm like actually already asleep. If I'm just tired in general, my capacity, just like I can survive on fumes longer than I should. But if I've already fallen asleep and then something comes up, that is my greatest challenge in life, is not being in control mode. So that's why I asked that, because that's my experience with it. Like if it's already cued in my body or my mind that I should be sleeping and something happens, I'm like, why? Like yeah, there's not a reason why.
For sure. That's definitely my biggest like anger trigger too. And I have to like really catch myself and be like, okay, we can breathe through this. But just that reminder that you shared of where do we want to be at the end of the day and kind of creating those, like those pulse points or those check-ins throughout the day. Like, oh, I can notice that, like, you know, oh, it's only 10 a.m. and I've already done a ton of stuff, or I've already been on a Zoom call most of the morning and I feel myself getting frustrated or resentful or things are bothering me. Or for me, it's always noticing like I'm very introverted, but if I go outside and just like the like people being around me at all, I'm like, oh, like that irritates me. That's always a sign that like, okay.
Why don't I have my own grocery store?
Right? Like, oh, there's another existing person that's in my space. Right. So, and that's always a sign. It's like, okay, you know, if everyone is doing something quote unquote wrong and annoying you, it's probably you. It's probably not everyone else.
They're blinking off beat. Gosh.
Right. Yeah. So it's really noticing these moments where we're, our capacity is, you know, is being limited, and that it's also okay to have lesser capacity days. Like it's okay. Like you don't always have to be at 100% or have your tank completely full. And that's also not sustainable, right? Like we can't expect ourselves to be in that place all the time. So it's like, how can we, you know, kind of create a flow state of like, okay, I have lower energy today. That's okay. How can I nourish this? Yes. And this.
All those things. Well, and to even like sort of go back to something you shared earlier about how yes and feels like there's suddenly the next step of like, what can I actually, like, how can I integrate this? How can I practice this? How can shift happen? Right. It's something that I use, when I'm working with people, you know, and a skill set or a tool that I offer is something that I call on-ramps and off-ramps. So for me, on-ramps are practices that help me increase my access to energy. If I need to do a certain task and I don't have it, but like that needs to happen. So on-ramps for me can be dancing, rewatching a funny dog video, thinking about a time that I like fell down the stairs and then laughed at myself. And then my neighbor's like, ew, why is she laughing? You know, like whatever just for me ends up getting me in a like giddier state where I, or like that I want to be dancing in my seat. Something like that to me is an on-ramp, right? Because it's this idea that like so much of my life I've been on the underpass where like I see people on the highway and they're like driving by. I'm like, oh, that's cute. It's almost like that feeling. I don't know if anyone's ever tried to jump into like double dutch and you're like waiting for the timing of the ropes, right? And you're just like, okay, you're doing that rocking. You're like, maybe now, maybe now. Oh no. Oh shit. Nope. I remember when I hit my ankles last time. That hurts. Right. So it's that sensation of like, oh, it would be so nice to be up there where I'm perceiving everyone's functioning, right? Not realizing everyone's up there in their hoopties anyways, and we're like all sputtering, right? But like that feeling of why can't I also do that? And so I realized that it was like, especially for more mundane, like my daytime type jobs of like checking emails, the admin things, like one, that's not where my energy is best going. That's not my creative spot, right? That's not my zone of genius. So expecting myself to perform like it is just not the thing. But I needed an on-ramp because those things had to be done if I was going to keep my income, to pay for any kind of bills, to like eat cracker, you know, like whatever. That's not a lavish life that I was even striving to get to, right? It's just bare minimum. And having executive dysfunction, in particular with ADHD, like so much of life is just like, how can I get there, right? So on-ramps is what helps us increase our access to energy, right? And it's the idea that I'm almost like, how can I be going up that ramp and then like catch air, right? It's like, and then knowing that when I level out, I'll be at the energy level I need to sustain that task or that practice, right? It's not about like creating a false high. It's like, how can I just have enough like serotonin in my body to get started, especially with the executive dysfunction. And then off ramps is when something like this, where I'm having so much fun with Sarah, but I'll know afterwards that I'll be buzzy and still want to keep that high enough to say, oh yeah, that isn't sustainable. And that's what leads to exhaustion. So an off-ramp practice, it can be the same thing. It can be dancing. It can be listening to something, but the reason I'm doing it and how I'll know that there's an enoughness in my body is different. So sometimes my off-ramp is brushing my teeth, right? It's cleansing my palate for me. I'm like a very tasty, like my name is in calories, they're calories, right? Like I'm a very food centric, calorically motivated person. So freshening my palate is something that's an off-ramp for me because I'm like, okay, that is residue in my mouth is gone. What's next, right? It could be reading. I mean, this was before a human baby, reading a book, like touching paper, right? Like I don't do an actual, just throw it everywhere. And it's one thing it's like, we can throw other things, but not my books, please. You know, and so, you know, like, but having like a physical journal there, I always have sunny breaks always meaning the 4 days a year, the sun's out in Pittsburgh, where I just go outside and then sing Sunny Break to the tune of Celebrate and then do this just obnoxious dance, not caring who sees, right? Like that can be an on or an off ramp for me. Again, it's the acknowledging like, oh, I need something to boost me up or I need to be getting off of something that's not mine. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that is like the most supportive way that and is on ramps and off ramps. And that really felt like that wanted to be shared because, again, that's that piece of how can my body be involved? How can my spirit be involved, right? Because sometimes yes and can become performative when we're doing it in our head of like, oh, I know that there's a way I can yes this, you know? And so for me, the ramps is part of like sharing that dialogue, sharing, passing the microphone from my head to my body.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we could talk all day. This has been such a lovely conversation. Like I just feel so nourished from like listening to this and I can't wait to listen back and I wish we could keep talking forever. And, but I would love for you to share, like, I know you're also working on this amazing course, which I am so honored to be able to be, getting early access to, and I've been loving it and it's been really helping me step into all these different, practices with improvising. So thank you for your work with
that. Thank you for being willing.
Yeah. But I would love for you to share like how people can access more of your resources, where they can find you.
Yeah, definitely. So on Instagram, I'm available at improvide, improvide .with.lori, Lori. And from there in my link tree, you know, bio link, there's other things there too, but you can also find me on the Improviding Life podcast and on Member Vault. I would be, how does Member Vault do? Like improviding dot Member Vault or .vip Member Vault. I'll make sure.
Yeah. And we'll have all the links in this
for
too.
That. My website is, I'd say a week or two away from existing. That again was just a helpful practice for me to just have an energetic container. So that way, especially people who are coming from this more from an organizational perspective, have a place to just go. And so that way, like, I don't have to feel like I have to, again, put out all this energy of like coordinating things. I can just be like, here's a website. So that will be, live at some point and will also be accessible through my Instagram.
Wonderful. Thank you for being here and for sharing all this. And for everyone listening, please check out Lori's podcast and everything. It's such a wonder. It's almost like its own little mini course, the way you walk through all the different tools. So definitely worth listening to that. But thank you so much for being here. And thank you for sharing all of your wisdom and all of your life experience. It's so, so helpful.
Thank you. Hope you all have a razzle dazzle day. And if not, you can put an F on front and have a frazzle dazzle day.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Mindful Productivity Podcast. As always, you can find show notes, links to everything we mentioned, and a complete transcript of this week's episode by going over to mindfulproductivityblog.com. As always, we'll have a brand new episode for you right back here next Monday. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great week ahead.